Back then, I was in my early 20s and had a relatively small group of friends. It was mainly just me, Andrew, and David. Most of the time we spent together was just walking around in the nearby forest and talking, or going off and exploring random things. But one night Andrew came over to my place and told me about this creepy abandoned building one of his friends had told him about. He said it was off a trail in a woody area not too far from here. Of course, I asked him what the place was, to which Andrew replied that he didn't know, and his friend didn't even go near it. This actually got me pretty excited, and we both called up David to tell him about it as well, and he seemed pretty pumped about it too. It was already 5 o'clock, but the sun didn't set until 7, and the darkness would only make it more exciting anyways. So Andrew and I packed up some basic stuff, like flashlights and some snacks. Then we headed over to David's apartment and picked him up. I parked the car next to a local grocery store that was just a couple minutes walk from the edge of the woods. Supposedly, there was a half-mile trail that led to a small lookout, but if you continue past the end of the path for a few minutes, you'll find the abandoned building. Knowing this, we found the trailhead and continued down, passing several other people as they were heading back. Honestly, I started to lose the excitement a bit because I began feeling like this was just a prank. The trail seemed pretty populated, so how could we have not known about this place before? Anyway, we continued and eventually made it to the lookout. The sun was still partially up at this point, but the woods began to darken gradually every minute. We took a quick break at the lookout to get the flashlights out, then we continued past the area and into the trees. It wasn't until maybe 15 minutes in that we all started to get annoyed. We'd been navigating between thick trees and bushes in the partial darkness for a while now, and hadn't seen a single thing.
"You sure this isn't just some stupid joke, Andrew?"
David passive-aggressively asked.
"No, this guy was serious, trust me,"
he responded, trying to assure us the best he could. Just a second later, we heard a bush nearby rustling around, and immediately we all flicked our flashlights towards the sound. It made me jump a bit, seeing the bush moving around as if an animal had jumped out of it or something, but right behind it in the distance, we could make out an old structure. That rush of excitement filled my body again, and we all made our way towards it. The building was very strange though, in the way that it just didn't seem like it belonged alone in a forest. It looked like a small work building, maybe used to be a woodworking station or something, I don't know. The old wooden front door was laying on the ground right in front of the structure though, as we all made our way inside. Immediately upon entering, the most awful and disgusting smell hit us. We glanced at each other, all clearly nervous, but even more curious. The first floor consisted of 3 rooms. The first was an open room with a large wooden table or workbench. There was a ton of trash lying around and really rusty tools that had been left behind. I followed David into the hallway that led to the other 2 rooms, both with closed doors. The smell was even more potent the closer we got to the door, so much so that Andrew backed away and put his shirt over his nose.
"Guys, we should just leave. That smell is unbearable,"
Andrew muttered to us as he moved his flashlight around. We both ignored him, though I did start getting a really bad feeling. I shined my flashlight over to the other door and took a few steps towards it, while David opened the other and stepped inside the room. Almost instantly, David screamed and quickly backed out of the room, making both me and Andrew jump. This was followed by multiple loud thuds echoing through the building from behind the third room's closed door. We sprinted out frantically, not stopping until we were completely out of breath.
"What the fuck just happened?"
Andrew said in between his breaths.
"Guys, there was a body on the ground in that room. I swear to God, there was a body there."
David was freaking out, looking all around. I could see in his eyes that he was seriously traumatized by what he'd just seen. I mentioned that we needed to keep moving, and that I thought there was someone else in that third room hiding. We were able to make it out relatively quickly, basically just running in the direction that we knew led to the road. When we got back to the car, I drove us all down to the police station a couple blocks away, where we explained the encounter. The officer that took our account honestly looked ashamed of us, as if we were stupid for having even gone there. I mean, sure, it may have been a dumb idea, but we also had just explained that we may have encountered a murder scene, and this cop was just giving us an annoyed attitude. Anyway, they sent a couple officers down. We actually stayed in our car outside the police station, waiting to get an update for over 2 hours, until finally I got a call, and we all went back inside to talk to a group of cops. They found spots of blood, as well as signs of someone having been there recently, but no body. They did seem to take the situation more seriously now, though, and questioned all of us more thoroughly. Fast forward a couple weeks later, they found what was likely the body that David had seen, poorly buried several hundred feet away from the abandoned building. I believe they determined that the person had been dead before being brought to the building, so I guess it was just where they hid the body before dumping it. As far as I'm aware, the case didn't end up going very far, and I don't know if they ever even found any real suspects. It was a crazy experience though, and the fact that we were all so close to a possible murderer is still unnerving for me to think about today. I live in Detroit, Michigan. If you aren't already aware, Detroit has some of the largest amounts of abandoned buildings in the United States. I'm not sure why it is exactly, but I've always grown up living in towns that were neighboring these old worn-down buildings, so I was used to it. A lot of people would hang out in them or explore them for fun. It was just a regular thing. When I was in middle school, I had a best friend who I'll call Philip. During our middle school years, both of us began to find interest in these abandoned buildings, thinking about what had happened before they were abandoned and what could still be inside of them. Obviously, we knew it was somewhat dangerous to go exploring them, but having just become teenagers, we felt like badasses for some reason, and so we kind of forced ourselves not to be scared of them. We knew gangs would sometimes hang out in the abandoned neighborhoods with all the buildings next to each other, so we did at least avoid those places. But there were a lot of other buildings nearby that were mostly isolated in the forested areas, so we began exploring those over the next few months. We had gone to maybe 3 or 4, and would make each one our designated hangout spot for a few weeks before finding a new place. And that's when things got bad. Philip and I were traveling down an overgrown and cracked cement road that led to several abandoned homes that we'd already been to. We continued further down this time, however, in search of a new and interesting place. Most of the homes were just a short minute's walk between each other, but as we got further along the path, we noticed that we'd been walking for almost 5 minutes and hadn't seen another house. With this in mind, we continued, unsure of what to expect. The thing was, there was still a concrete path, so it had to lead to something. Eventually, maybe another 5 minutes later, we reached the end of the concrete portion of the path. However, there was a faint gravel trail that continued. As far as we could see, it was just trees, but we were sure it had to lead somewhere, so we kept going forward. Only 1 or 2 minutes later, we finally reached a house. It was odd looking, kind of like a townhouse, but a random townhouse this far out wouldn't make much sense. All of the windows were boarded up, and the front door was closed, but the garage was cracked open, leaving a few feet of space at the bottom for us to crawl under. Philip banged on the metal garage door a few times to make sure it was gonna hold, then we both knelt under it. Inside the garage was pretty much nothing, a bit of garbage and dirt, but the door leading into the house was closed. I pressed up against it, turning the knob and pushing hard, but it wouldn't budge.
"Hey, can you give me a hand with this?"
Both of us pushed, and we were able to get it open enough for us to squeeze through. First thing we noticed was a huge dresser that was pressed up against the door. I gave Philip a confused look, then we both climbed over it and made our way into the kitchen. From where we were standing, we could see down a hallway that led to some stairs going up, as well as what looked like the living room. Oddly though, the place wasn't in very bad shape, not much trash inside, and relatively clean. We could tell people had been there before though, as there were a bunch of footprints on the dusty wooden floors. As we started walking through the hallway, a sudden, soft bang came from the other side of the house. It sounded as if something small had dropped on the floor. We exchanged glances and stood quietly in the hallway, listening for anything else. I don't know about Philip, but I was definitely getting pretty worried. The front door was just ahead of us though, so after a few seconds of silence, I slowly started toward it. A little over halfway there, an ear-piercing, loud metal scraping sound vibrated through the house, followed by an enormous crashing bang from the garage. I swung the front door open and we sprinted out of there. My heart was beating out of my chest and I could feel my adrenaline rushing through me. As we got back on the path, I looked back, seeing the garage was fully closed now. We pretty much ran all the way to Philip's house. Neither of us were sure what happened. Philip thought it was just a coincidence that the garage happened to have fallen while we were there, but I wasn't so sure. I believe someone may have set the place up as a trap, waiting for people to go in through the garage and then closing them in. Why else would the door have been blocked by a dresser while the non-functional garage was dangling open? I don't know if they thought we were still in there and that's why they closed it, or maybe it was just to scare us, having already known we escaped. We never went back to find out though, and we since decided to only explore the places that were nearby and not deep in forests. My best friend Jack and I always had our little places where we would hide from the rest of the world, whether it was a corner in the schoolyard or the skate park nearby. When we were tired of the grown-ups around us or our siblings, we just took our comics and left for a while. After a few years, we built a treehouse in Jack's backyard and spent a lot of time in there, but whenever his younger brother came up to join us and we were unable to kick him out because of their mother being around, we often left for the woods instead. With our books and flashlights, we stayed out all day, and over time, the treehouse became more often occupied by Jack's brother and his friends. His mother said we were getting too old for it anyways, which we full-heartedly disagreed on. Still, we were forced to find a new hideout. So, one day we grabbed our stuff and went into the woods again, going farther than we'd ever been before. We tried to build a new shelter, but it didn't even get near to the greatness of the treehouse, and we got home disappointed. My mother sent us into the woods again the next day to walk our dog, Sammy, and we went even farther than before, determined to give the search a second try. Sammy, however, wasn't very keen on sniffing out the best possible places, and he never even waited for us while we judged a certain spot on its potential. One time even, when he dashed off again, he didn't come back. Jack was the one who noticed, and after 30 minutes of calling, searching, and whistling, I called my mom in a panic. She quickly dispelled my worries and assured me that I would probably find him soon. It wasn't the first time he'd done that, and every time he'd come running back. So Jack and I walked on, even when twilight began to fall. We put on our flashlights, and Jack suddenly signaled for me to stop. He said he heard barking, and standing in silence, I heard it too. We hastened to where it came from, and found Sammy in front of a small stone building, barking at seemingly nothing.
What you got there, bud? We've been looking all over for you.
I got the leash, and Sammy began growling at something. I connected the leash back to Sammy's collar, and we both started heading out. We took one last look at the building, though, agreeing that Sammy had helped us find a hideout after all, and we came back the next day. It was already twilight by then, having finished our schoolwork and dinner first. We left Sammy home and only took our flashlights, phones, and batteries with us, ready for the dark. The stone building turned out to be an almost square, singular structure with a creaking metal door, as well as a corrugated iron roof and no windows. There was nothing inside, and the floor was made of the same cold stone. We took the next day to bring over some old blankets and cushions, and even a lamp that worked on batteries. The treehouse was all forgotten, and we spent the last semi-summer days with the metal door open while we sat reading in the little building. We closed it when fall came along. It didn't really bother us. It was dark outside now too, so it didn't really matter. Our interior had gotten some updates as well. We hung a garland with little lights above our heads and put posters on the walls. This hideout, so we thought, was going to last forever. We went there every day by default, even when it rained. Especially when it rained, actually. The sound of the drops on the iron roof had to be the best thing to exist, ticking calmly in the background while we both listened to our own music with headphones on. One day, we were listening to the same music on my phone, lying lazily on the cushions with our schoolwork untouched in the corner. It rained pretty heavily, the winds howling around the building. After a while, my phone died and we had no more music to listen to. Jack hummed a little instead, prepared to do anything to avoid his homework. He flinched when the door creaked suddenly and his humming stopped. We stared at the entrance before looking at each other. I shrugged it off, and as I reached for my notebook, footsteps were heard around the back of the building. I remember both of us being pretty shaken. I was just hoping it was someone harmlessly exploring the woods or something, but it was pouring outside and we were fairly deep in the forest.
Jack, I think we should leave.
But before he could answer, we heard running footsteps going around the building, followed by the door slamming open. Wind and rain violently blew into the room. Jack screamed, and I was just as shaken as he was. Both unable to move, we watched into the darkness of the woods until we realized that no one was there, at least not anymore. Eventually, I found the strength to stand up and close the door. We agreed to leave soon after, and when we came home soaking wet, we decided not to visit the hideout during the dark again because we didn't know who had opened the door, and we didn't want to stay another night to find out. As a matter of fact, we still don't.